The Bridge d'Artefact, le média professionnel pour en savoir plus sur la data et l'intelligence artificielle. Aujourd'hui, un nouvel entretien avec un data leader en vidéo et podcast.
Hello, my name is Caroline Goula. I created two companies in the field of data visualization. I've been working for more than 10 years to build bridges between humans and data, and I'm very happy to be with you for this new episode of The Bridge, the Artefact Media about artificial intelligence and data. Today we are with Florent Bernard. Florent, bonjour.
Bonjour.
How are you?
I'm super fine, super excited and happy to be with you today.
All right, could you introduce yourself?
Yes, so I'm Florent Bernard. I'm a managing partner at Artefact. And I'm co-leading globally our industry related to transport, travel and hospitality.
So we are going to talk about transport and data, tourism industry and data. What's your personal history with this sector?
First, as a person, I'm a big traveler, so I have a lot of personal experiences. But more seriously, when we talk about data and the travel industry, I'm serving today and for the last 3 years different customers in hospitality, so hotel companies, airlines, transportation infrastructure such as airports, or in the railway industry as well.
All right, so how this sector has been doing since the COVID crisis? It has been quite a mess, I guess.
Yes, so during the COVID, obviously, everything has been stopped. What has been really interesting to observe is that since the COVID, the trends catch up quite faster as expected. We see a lot of new trends, either in the destinations or in the origin of the travelers, in the usage, in the ways we need to interest the different guests, the passenger. The different trends in terms of destination, geographies, generation of travelers. Now the Gen Z is booming with a lot of, I would say, different interest and expectation from their travels compared to their parents. And obviously, technology with mobile usage, generative AI, has created a lot of new opportunities for the industry.
And did this change the way people are traveling? Are they still using planes the same way? Are they still booking the same way?
So this is very interesting to observe, because originally in the travel industry, I would say that data and AI was mostly focusing on marketing activities, marketing and sales activities. Okay, how do I attract, how do I acquire my guests, how do I convert them, how do I make them loyal to my company, etc. This is still a big topic, and the personalization aspect of data and AI is still huge, with a lot of new challenges and new opportunities. A second aspect that arose from the COVID and the generative AI explosion is that now it also offers a lot of opportunities and new use cases for the operations of airlines, railways, transportation, etc., which before were a little bit behind in terms of maturity compared to the marketing and sales teams.
Yes, because I guess there are lots of logistic problems to solve when moving people, hosting people. So how is generative AI or just AI changing this field?
Well, I can give you a very concrete example in the airline industry. So focusing on the operation, you need to imagine that the operations for flight safety, for example, which is a critical topic, you have the pilots who create reports. You have the crew who create reports, you have the ground maintenance teams that create reports, you have the control tower that create reports. So originally, all these persons were writing manual reports, hoping that someone will read them and analyze them and create some bridges between these reports. With generative AI, there's been a mindset shift saying, why don't we use generative AI first to create better reports and to analyze these reports, which are sometimes manual writing, sometimes it's tables, sometimes it's videos, sometimes it's pictures. How do you create, how do you analyze globally these reports to detect trends, patterns, insights on the maintenance of the planes or the state of the cabin or whatever. Okay. And this creates huge opportunities. This is one single example that already, I think, demonstrates the power of generative AI and how it will drastically transform the operations.
So this is about maintenance, but another important subject at the moment, it's sustainability. Plane isn't very good at this. This is what everyone has in mind. Is there also some solution coming from artificial intelligence to improve the impact of plane flights on the environment?
Yes, definitely. And this is a big field of exploration and work for airlines. Airlines and tech providers and data providers, by the way. Weather forecast is something which is a tremendous importance for the route optimization, for example. And today I can give you another very concrete example that I know several airlines are working on globally. It's how you, two use cases. First one is how you optimize your route depending on the weather, which is intuitively easy to capture. But it's also always a trade-off between, do I need to accelerate to catch up and avoid a delay, which will be costly for my passenger, for operationally on the airport, etc., versus the fuel consumption. And now it's not generative AI, it's AI per se, is how do you optimize and make the better trade-off between being on time, consuming more, or being accepting a little delay, but consuming less fuel. Okay, this is very important because the economic balance is very important. The second use case related to sustainability is the contrails. Contrails, for those who don't know, I don't know if you know what is a contrail, is when you see a plane in the sky, you see white lines behind. Okay, it happens in very specific atmospherical conditions, but it represents roughly one third of the sustainability impact of the airlines. And this, leveraging AI, it has been demonstrated that you can adapt the flight conditions in terms of altitude to reduce these contrails by a factor 2, meaning that you can reduce drastically contrails and impact on the environment while increasing very, very little the investment in terms of fuel and the flight conditions. So these are two examples, I think, that showcase the how we use data for the travel industry.
This is two examples coming from the airport and the plane industry. Are other actors also concerned by operation and improving operation thanks to artificial intelligence? I don't know, like tourist accommodation, local industries?
So one good example that we are working on currently is for the railway industry. You know that the train has become more and more digitalized. There are many sensors on the train, on the track, on all the equipment around the track. So there is a big challenge to capture this data, to structure this data, and to analyze it. To give you a few examples, the most obvious one is about how you predict the damages on your train to do some predictive maintenance. But there is also a significant use of AI to predict incidents on the tracks, you know, with cameras, with image recognition, etc., to detect when a branch fell on the track or stuff like that. Another big example, which is more operational in the back office, I would say, but in the French context, which is quite important, is there are a lot of public RFPs, requests for proposal, where the company needs to adapt to a huge legal and regulatory context. And the generative AI is used not to generate automatically the answers, but just as a sanity check that the answer provided by the company meet all the regulatory constraints to make sure that they are compliant with the regulation. So this is something applied to the train. It could be applied in other industry, but this is something real life example in the railway industry.
All right, let's talk about the traveler's experience, the visitor's experience. How did it change during the past years? You said that the new generation are not traveling the same way, they're not looking for that trip the same way. Have they been influenced by the new technologies, or is it some new offering that give them more opportunities?
So this is a very important challenge. Always you can see as a challenge or as an opportunity. Obviously, I see it as an opportunity. Let's talk about the Gen Z, for example. The Gen Z, they have been locked down globally, like their parents, but they are now they have a strong willingness to explore and to, you know, move. But their usage, the way they travel, is not like going to a travel agency around the corner and ask for a plane ticket to somewhere, etc. What they do is they spend a lot of time on their cell phone, looking on social media. So you need to be present on the social media. You need to have a very explicit messaging and to attract them and to create excitement around your the experience that you offer. We also see that in some countries, India is a very good example. India, there is a huge increase of the usage of mobile because people don't have laptops, meaning that all the funnel, all the experience needs to happen on the mobile first. It's not only about getting inspired on Instagram, for example, but it's also being able to search for flights, to book a flight, to compare hotels, to get the best rate of the hotels, etc. It's before, during, and after the stay. Okay, you need to have the overall experience on the tip of your fingers on your mobile. This creates a lot of challenges when you're traditionally are either physical or laptop based.
And I guess it's not anymore the tourist image we have. Visiting with big groups doing the same things at the same times. I guess it's not anymore the case. And how do the tourist actors adapt to this personalization of all the trips?
So this is a very good point. And personalization is extremely important. Okay, you need to be to address each passenger, each guest on a personalized way. What it means, you need to know your customer. You know, it's something which is obvious, but now with the different the technology that we have, we know the characteristics, you know, age, origin, gender, whatever, but you also know the behaviors, or at least it's important to know how to get information related to behaviors. This is why we see a lot of the emergence of a lot of data collaboration and data sharing within industry. And to give you an example, it's quite old to see an airline partner teaming up with a hospitality player to share some data to make sure that you talk when someone is looking for a flight ticket to Rio, you can also offer him an opportunity to book a room in your hotel in Rio. These one-on-one relationships are still accelerating, but what we see the movement that I see and that I'm working on these days is to create more industry networks where the technology allows you to share a lot of data coming from hotel, hospitality, CPG, airports, car rentals, you know, much broader players, all centered around the guest, to provide each of the player a much sharper view of the passenger personality, characteristic, expected experience, etc. And the hyper personalization, going back to the flight experience, is how you are with your passenger, with your traveler, when he gets inspired, when he booked, when he goes to the airport in the taxi, when he arrives at the terminal. What do you display him? What notification do you send him on the phone? Do you have discounts for the local duty free? When you can give him information from the security check, wait 10 minutes and it will be faster to get there. When you are in the flight, imagine an experience where you are sitting in your flight and in-flight entertainment, you can just log in with your Netflix account and just catch up your movie where you stop it in the taxi going to the airport, etc., etc. So all this data sharing experience and data sharing collaboration between industry players will, I think, unlock a lot of new use cases and new opportunities for the guests to have a very personal experiences.
So this is the goal, the very unified experience for the final user, knowing everything about the final user. So now, how do companies do that? If you are an actor in this industry, where do you start?
Very good question. The how. On this topic, you always need to bridge the strategy, the vision of what you want to do, and how you're going to make it with the technologies that you have at hand. In terms of vision, it really depends on the maturity of the different players. But globally, you know that without data, you don't have AI. Quite easy to understand. And in terms of data sources, I would say you have your own data. So the data that you collect from your hotels, from your airlines, from your passengers, from your guests, etc. But then, as we talk, we need to have this, what we call second-party data, is how you collect data from external sources. So this is a very important topic because and strategic topic, because you need to you can have multiple angles. You can have just win-win partnership where we trade and we give data to each other. You can also imagine monetization opportunities. How do I have data that could be of interest to other players and I want to offer services to them, not directly to the guest, but to ecosystem. So this is a strategic aspect, strategic topic that needs to be addressed. Once you have this is clear, it means you have the data in your hands. And now we see a large amount of new technology bricks. You have the data clean rooms, meaning it's a solution that allows you to share your data without being able to go into the, to keep the privacy, I would say, of each data owners originally. You have the CDP, or the Customer Data Platform. The Customer Data Platform is basically the place where you build your customer 360 view. This is really important because now CDPs are a layer on top of your data platform. And it's also a tool that allows you to connect to all the communication channels that you have, email, social media, video, etc. So this is where you can also kind of orchestrate your marketing activities. There is another brick which is very important in this ecosystem is the consent management platform. You know, we have a lot of regulation and constraint regarding GDPR, etc. The consent management platform is basically a tool that allows you to orchestrate, you know, all the, yes, I accept all the cookies, or yeah, I deny access to the cookies, etc. Long story short. It's very important because imagine you are a company with multiple brands. Each brand has its own marketing activities. How do you orchestrate the consent from one brand to versus another one versus the global group? Who can communicate? How do you ensure that the marketing pressure is not too high on the customer, etc.? So this is a few examples. So data clean room, customer data platform, consent management platform. These are some elements that are really fundamental to have in place to make sure that you can, on one hand, do the right thing to go to personalization, and on the other hand, respect the regulation and the legal constraint that you might be facing in your country, for example.
Now let's talk about AI agents. It's something very important at the moment in the news. How did this change the industry?
So I love the question in the sense that you use the present tense because it's not yet fully deployed, but we see a lot of progresses on this part. To give you a few examples, you have the most obvious one is the call centers. Okay, how you can replace or improve either you augment the person who answers the question by having generative AI that helps preparing the answer in real time, or you can have some of the questions that are directly answered by a synthetic voice using generative AI to collect the answer to the question that you ask. Good example is if you have static timetables of your trains or your flights, it's a simple information that doesn't move, I would say. So calling an agent, calling a number and having an AI that gives you the timetable of your train is something quite easy. So this for the I would say the customer care. You also have agent in a sense of a travel assistant. You know, a lot of application arose either by on your mobile phone or just to book a restaurant nearby when you are at the hotel in south of France, for example. or book a car, stuff like that. So new services like conciergerie mode are exploding as well. We see a lot of new IDs here, and we actually build them in some cases. More broadly, I would say that we see generative AI used in three topics, in three areas of the journey for a traveler. First is inspiration. You know, now you go on a solution, I would not give names, but you just type, okay, I have a budget of 800 euros, I want to travel with my wife for 3 days, 200 kilometers away from where I live, where should I go? So it's for inspiration. You don't have yet the call to action, meaning the ability to go to, travel agency to book, etc., but it will come. Then you have the planning. It can help you, just a personal story. I will go in a personal vacation in a month from now, and I've done quite precise timetable for my trip using generative AI, quite precise in terms of walking distances, prices for the tickets, etc. So it helps a lot to anticipate your travel. And then for the assistance, either assistance, as I mentioned, for customer care in case of problems, I lost my luggage or whatever, what is the policy for a refund or stuff like that, or for the assistant, as I mentioned, with the travel assistant, more in the sense of conciergerie, new services to enhance the experience that you provide your guest with.
I'm very curious, what kind of tool did you use to plan your personal vacations?
So basically an Excel-like tool with a ChatGPT tool, and the integration of all this solution just allows you to create a table, very simple table with date, hour, destination, distance, etc. You can set up this pretty easily and with good results.
So it looks like for the final tourist, you have like a personal assistant, like you also mentioned conciergerie, a bit like in the luxe industry. What other trends do you see coming, or how do you see this evolving in the coming years?
Yeah, my personal view on this is that today we are still in an area where we do differently activities or services that were already existing. Which is already a big step, because it's not always that easy to be delivered in a high quality and normal budget, I would say. But I think we are at the really beginning of a new story in terms of services. I think it's still to be imagined what are the services that the travel and hospitality industry will be able to deliver to the guest. Because the cost of delivering, the cost of building new tech and AI-powered solutions is decreasing drastically. And I think it's just now a matter of imagination, of bringing standards, for example, of the luxury segment, and democratize these services thanks to AI to the broader population, etc. So a lot of democratization of services, and a lot of new services, a boom of the startups ecosystem that will always bring a lot of ideas and disruptive ideas. And it will be a matter for the big company to understand what they should buy or integrate from others, and what they should make themselves to deliver their own. It will be a question of how the current company will decide what is the service or the brick that they need to buy and to integrate in their experience. Compared to what they need to build themselves to have the full ownership and master their own experience with their, you know, personal branding and culture and philosophy.
So it's always a balance between doing internally or cooperating. Do you think it's going to be a movement of concentration in this sector, or at the opposite, some more and more actors, startups, small players, multiplication of all those small players that will bring each one a small piece of this experience?
I would go for the second option. The lowering investment required to go in these technologies makes it accessible for everybody. The barriers are getting lower and lower, so it will give opportunity to many, many people to test new stuff and to propose new ideas, new products, new services on the market. So I think we are not yet in a topic in a situation of concentration at all. But then the question will always be, what is really incremental in terms of value creation versus what is not significantly new or better to justify to exist in the long run. The good thing is, I think the creativity will explode because this democratization of how to build AI-powered tools and services and solutions makes many people doing it for free, almost for free, and provide new ideas. We have done, at Artifact, we have launched a movie festival, you know, where you need to use AI in different steps of the movie creation, and we saw that the applicants come from around the world in a few weeks, and the ideas were just amazing. Many different ideas, different concepts, etc. I think this will is just an illustration of how creativity will be booming in the coming years. And then for the company, the question will be, okay, what is the true incremental new idea versus what is the nice stuff but not relevant for my business?
Wow, that looks very exciting, but I guess if you are a player in this industry, this can be also a bit frightening. Will I be capable of that? So the people you meet, you are working with, what are their state of mind at the moment?
I think in this industry and beyond, the mood today for the C-level is a balance between a lot of excitement, because we see the opportunities like booming, and a lot of anxiety raising from their own teams. Okay, will AI replace me? Will I be replaced by a bot or whatever? And I think the challenge and what we are working a lot on at Artifact today is to do a lot of acculturation, you know, explaining, demystifying what data, what AI is and what it is not. It's not magic. To reduce his anxiety, create new skills, etc., so people understand and, you know, manipulate AI much more so they understand the true power of AI. So you reduce the anxiety and you transfer this energy into excitement to foster, you know, creativity, new ideas, and a new usage. You know, the key word is adoption for AI. You need the CEOs want to have their team embracing AI, not naively, but with a lot of respect of and mindfulness of what it is and the regulations, etc. But to boost adoption, to create new usages, and to accelerate the value creation thanks to AI.
Okay, so looks very exciting. Thank you very much, Florent, for being with us today.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and see you very soon for a new episode of The Bridge.